You're listening to Cairo News Radio Middays.
Welcome to Cairo News Radio Middays. Jack Stein, Spike O'Neill, Mr. WA64. Isn't that the most unoriginal name you've ever heard of for an album?
I'm just thinking, like, what?
What? Like, why not call it something? Why not just call it the combination of a Honey Crisp and a Pink Lady? Call it a Honey Lady.
A Honey pink Crispy. Something, I don't know.
This is what scientists do, is they take simple things and they make them terrible, right? So an apple is a simple thing. It's a simple thing. And I'm sure that the WA64, I'm sure it's delicious, but make it delicious and then don't keep it from me for another 5 years. What is this? This is the literal definition of torture. You tell me that you have a new apple that's my two favorite apples that you've combined and I don't get to have it for another 5 years. What is this? What is this?
What's your favorite apple?
I got a bag of Honeycrisps right now. I'm in that range. I'm in that range. Yep. Spike, to be honest with you, I could talk apples for the next 3.5 hours. What makes a good apple? What makes a bad apple? I am a sommelier when it comes to apples.
Nice.
But unfortunately, I feel like most people would be like, are we listening to 5-year-old radio? What's this? Two grown men saying, well, my favorite apple is a Granny Smith. I mean, it's not exactly compelling stuff.
I like Granny Smith with certain things. Let's go to an apple pie. You know,
this is what always happens when you talk about apples with anybody. Chris Martin, have you ever noticed this? You start talking about apples with any human being, and all of a sudden it ends up being this intense, like, parliamentary debate over the merits of this apple versus that apple. Have you noticed this?
My best friend who owns a record store has a fanzine, and he wrote 2 pages just about apples. He tried a different apple every day and wrote these detailed descriptions.
A million views later, right?
I'm telling you guys. Hey, speaking of views,
I want him to cross an apple with a sheep. That's what I want. A lample.
Speaking of engagement, by the way, what is this, 1945, Spike? What is that? What joke is that? Is that even a punch? That's like an anti-punchline. Like, you've just literally sucked all the comedy out of my body.
My apologies, dear friend.
That's fine.
Here, have a pair.
I'll never work with you ever again. So, speaking of views, by the way, Ted Cruz, this fine senator from the state of Texas, he tweeted something out over this weekend. And when I saw it, he tweeted out on Saturday. And when I saw this tweet, I thought nothing of it. I thought, well, this is a pretty standard tweet from a representative in government. And then I realized, oh, no, wait. This is going to be really bad for Ted Cruz, the content of this particular tweet, because I don't think he realizes the kind of people that he's dealing with when he's talking about this kind of stuff. An hour later, I checked back on the tweet, and it had blown up. It had become unbelievably viral. Screenshots, people having debate over it. And I go, well, now I'm going to go through the comment section. Ted Cruz had the audacity, Spike O'Neill, he had the audacity to say this. Can you believe that a sitting member of government would say this? In reference to a recent law passed in Uganda, he tweeted out, "This Ugandan law is horrific and wrong. Any law criticizing homosexuality or imposing the death penalty for aggravated homosexuality is grotesque and an abomination. All civilized nations should join together in condemning this human rights abuse. Hashtag LGBTQ. That's from Senator Ted Cruz.
Wow.
That's from Senator Chris Martin hates with a deep passion, Ted Cruz, right? This is from a guy who has voted against gay marriage. This is from a guy who has spoken out adamantly against transgender individuals. And yet, what we see here is a little ray of humanity, which is something that I always ask people to find in people that they disagree with. Just that little ray, that core, right? That little seed in the core. We're sticking with apples for this segment.
Sure.
That little piece of them that is a good and a decent human being. And then as I was going through the comments on this, people were saying that Ted Cruz was wrong for having this position, that homosexuality in the United States should be criminalized and that it should be met with the death penalty, right? And that any activity around, you know, two men or two women engaging in homosexual activity should be actively met with crime, right? And I thought to myself, man, I am so glad I don't live in those states where these where these people are, right? I am so glad that I don't live there. But what was surprising to me is that you have people who see that this is a law which clearly infringes on what we know to be about human decency and what we know about human rights, And they are all in favor of it. They were saying, no, Ted Cruz, you are wrong, sir, that this should be the case in the United States. And it was just interesting to see him not take it down as well. He chose to leave it up. It's still up to this day, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah. I like the headline, Ted Cruz shows rare glimpse of humanity. that's the headline I saw.
Isn't it? Yeah, go ahead.
He's getting beat on by both sides.
Oh, but both sides, correct.
I mean, I also am not a fan of Senator
How
Cruz.
Dare you?
Oh,
How
you
dare
know,
you?
I think when you go on vacation in Cancun, you should take your dog. I'm a pet lover. What are you going to do? But, you know, the guy's getting it from the left. Hey, what about Texas? How are they treating trans people this season, this session? You know, hey, why don't you start with your pal Ron DeSantis, where teachers aren't even allowed to say the word gay, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And those are very base takes on this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then you know, he's also getting it from the right. And not just the people who think that it should be outlawed. You know, he's getting it from the right people saying stuff like, there's a bunch of these here. I apologize.
I mean, can you even read them? Because they're so, I mean, some
that's
of the
what
ones
I'm trying
that
to,
I saw.
Yeah. Why don't you worry about making Americans a priority? Blah, 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 blah.
Right,
you know,
right.
You know, from conservative media and conservative politicians.
What's interesting about that point, by the way, because I know that there are a lot of people who had that same comment and they said, well, why don't we focus on Americans? Why don't we focus on what's going on in this country? When Coptic Christians were under assault in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, America cared very much about that, right? Americans in general, we go, hey, that's a human rights violation, right?
Yep.
You can't kill somebody just because they're Coptic Christian. That's not cool, right? And we should all condemn that universally. Not a person would say, hey, why don't we focus on Americans? Not a single human being would do that. However, Uganda passes a law which under any other metric, we would view it as being discriminatory and disgusting and gross. And a senator comes out and he says, hey, you know what? I'm a lawyer. I went to Harvard. I'm a smart guy. This is horrific and wrong, and I'm not on board with it. And people go, man, Ted Cruz, really off the mark on this one, my friend. There is no consistency here in people's moral spectrum when they think about human rights abuses. There is just no consistency from a vast majority of people out there, where in one instance, they will say we have to care about this group of people in another country, and then years later they will say, hey, focus on America, guy, what are you doing? Not our business, leave it alone. It's bizarre.
Who was it before? There was when it was made public that in it was in Iran gays were being killed for being gay. Who was it that stepped up?
So this is about 10 years ago. Glenn Beck who is, you know, on GLAAD's number one list of homophobes and transphobes and a bigot, right? So Glenn Beck finds out that in Iran, they are throwing gay men and women off of rooftops,
buildings. Yeah.
And they're hanging them from cranes. And so he reaches out to GLAAD and he says, listen, I got money. I want to charter a plane. I want to get those people visas, and I want to bring them to the United. I want the people who are going to be victimized by this new law in Iran, I want them to come to the United States, right? He goes, I just want to do that. And GLAAD turned him down. They said, absolutely not. We will not do that. Now, what's interesting about that is that you would imagine that GLAAD as an organization would have jumped at the opportunity to take money from a guy who doesn't need it. The guy's a millionaire. I don't know how many times over.
Right.
And he says, I'll charter the plane. I'll pay for the blah, blah, blah. I just think it would be best to get those people out of that country. And you have GLAAD saying, no dice. It's bad optics, right? Which is what this is here with Ted Cruz. People are saying this is bad optics for Ted Cruz. I don't think that it is. I think it's very based.
I think it's the right thing. What do you care what the optics are if it's the right thing?
Right. I mean, that should be the standard, I feel like, we operate by, which is that, you know, that the act is more important than the optics. But in today's day and age, the optics are much more important than the act itself, right?
So yeah. Somebody responded to Ted Cruz, oh, just in time for Pride Month, huh, corporate Ted?
Yeah, it's coincidental that the law just so happened to pass in Uganda.
Right. On the eve of
days.
June. Yeah.
That's just coincidental, but people will make, you know, mountains out of molehills all day long. Speaking of, by the way, Mr. O'Neill, did you hear about this murderers and criminals? The meteorologists are facing unprecedented harassment from conspiracy theorists.
I saw this, and this is just the latest of people being empowered to be the worst version of themselves.
Yes, maybe the absolute worst. So if you don't know, there has been a series of death threats being made against meteorologists. Your friendly guy or lady who in the morning they say, hey, today remember to pack an umbrella because you're going to have showers in the afternoon and go Mariners. You know that sweet person?
Sure.
That person is now getting death threats. Maybe not locally, but around the country, you have meteorologists who are getting death threats because they are talking about climate change, right? And they are talking about how the climate is indeed changing. Now, we can argue about whether or not climate change is influenced by human beings. We could argue that all day long. But what you can't argue is that in some places it's getting hotter, in some places it's getting colder, and there are more extreme weather events happening over a 100-year scale in the United States. That is irrefutable according to the data. But what people do is when they hear climate change, they automatically think Greta Thunberg, and then they think global warming, and then they think the Rothschilds, and then they think the Bilderbergs, and then they think Agenda 21, and then they think the Satanists and the Adrenochrome.
Wow, that's really good. They're into it.
And then they think, well, Donald Trump is going to have the storm where he and Robert Mueller come in and they're going to arrest the Clintons and the Bilderbergs and the Rothschilds. And they're going to, because they're torturing children so that they can take the adrenochrome out of their brain so that they can live forever. That is where people go with it. And so now they're getting death threats. Now, I would have thought, Spike, if you're a meteorologist, that's got to be one of the safest jobs to have on God's green earth. But apparently I'm wrong.
It's the dream job. If you bat 400, you're going to the Hall of Fame. Right? I mean, seriously, if you're right less than half the time, you are in the Meteorological Hall of Fame.
It's
the guys trying to tell you how to plan your day, and you're so sprung on the conspiracy theorist, the chemtrails over your house or government implants to make sure that the crops don't grow so we can all become subservient to whatever, blah 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 blah. And you're going to threaten the guy delivering the mail?
Well, because they think that they are basically shills for the machine. So, Spike, there was a video that went viral. I think it's a Fox Corp video. I'm not sure. But it is a series of newscasters who are all reading from the same script about bias in news. Have you seen this?
It's Sinclair Broadcasting, who I used to work
Sinclair.
For.
Sinclair.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So everybody has seen that, and everybody goes, you think the media is fair and biased? Not realizing that when Sinclair has a statement that they want their reporters to read verbatim, that is what they are paid to do, right? That is just that they, what they're saying is that this is the standard of the company that I work for. It's no different than Ford putting out a statement saying, hey, we got, you know, we're going to be cutting down on our global carbon emissions or whatever. And they send it out to every Ford dealership to put it up in the lobby. It's no different than that. But people lost their minds over it, thinking that this was some grand conspiracy. That's what's going on with these meteorologists. Is because they say, hey, there's significant climate events that are happening over a period of time, and it's probably going to get worse. People are now saying, well, you're part of the media machine, man.
Whoa,
and the
worse than that. You're part of the woke mind virus.
The woke mind virus, indeed. And so, I mean, I understand. What was the old radio joke back in the day, Spike? It was, the weatherman's never right. Remember that one?
Yeah.
The weatherman's... but it's, now it's that the weatherman is actively working for the communists who are trying to... to get you to get rid of your gas stove and take
it. Oh my gosh, the gas stove argument. But, and the people who are making these threats against meteorologists, they've been told that it's up to them. If they don't get into the fight, man, if you don't fight for truth, you know, because they're giving you this malarkey, they're spinning this web of misinformation to take your gas stove away and you'll never have a cookout again and blah, 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 blah.
When I was in Boy Scouts, Spike, we had one of my buddies, Todd, his dad, Rod, was a
sweet name.
He was a meteorologist for the local TV station. He wasn't the guy who went on TV. He was the guy who told that guy what to say. So he was the guy with the actual PhD in climate, and he was the big brain genius who was paid the money to figure out what was going to happen in the weather. And then he would tell the guy with the nice smile and the capped teeth and the nice suit what to say when he got in front of the camera. But the problem with Rod was he was the most dry, boring, uninteresting guy you had ever met in your life because he was a robot brain. He was a dead ringer for Mr. Clean. You know what I mean?
Oh, bald head.
Right, but not buff.
Okay, okay.
Gangly, you know, almost like creature-like gangly.
Mr.
You know what
Lean.
I mean? And when you would talk to the, I mean, he was an interesting guy in as so far as you would ask him about the weather, But past that, the guy lived what was basically a white bread, white toast kind of existence. It was the most completely uninteresting human being I've ever met in my life. And in reading this story, I'm thinking about what these people are saying about meteorologists, that they have this active agenda to convince people that the weather is actually blah, blah, blah. And I think about my old scoutmaster, Rod, and how there's no way that guys, you know, in dark suits and dark sunglasses would go up to Rod and hand him $50,000 in cash and say, you're going to manipulate the news. You're going to manipulate the news because we want everybody to be communist. Because Rod would go, I ain't doing that. You know, he was just such a dry, boring guy. There's no way it would have happened. And I just think that most people need that. I suppose that reality check where they need to realize who we're talking about here.
Yeah.
We're not talking about like pharmaceutical companies who clearly have some kind of devious intent. We're talking about
big weather.
The most boring people on the planet are meteorologists.
A new world weather order ruled by Greta Thunberg as she sails from coast to coast, spreading her front of misinformation.
Okay. If you want to tell me that Greta Thunberg is an infiltrator who's trying to convince people about climate change, I will believe you 100% that she's a little child actress. I'll believe it 100%. If you're trying to tell me that the guy who went and he's got his MS in climatology is part of this big conspiracy to try to get people to buy electric stoves, you're out of your mind. You know what I mean? You are clearly at this point in time detached from reality. These are the kind of people they put margarine on toast and they're like, a balanced meal. Time to investigate the clouds. I mean, these are boring people. What? And you're trying to tell me, Andrew, am I right about this? Do you know any meteorologists that are like taking shots and lifting weights and like getting into bar fights? Is this the thing
or not?
He's
kind of describing Ted Beener, isn't he?
I was going to say, that sounds like Nick Allard to me.
Oh, Nick Allard.
What a man that is.
He's quite the man, quite the specimen.
Wait, Chris Martin, am I off base about this? This is my general read of it. I'm just kind of riffing off the top of my head. But I don't know any climate guys out there that are, you know, that are punching people and taking names. You know what I mean?
I'm still trying to wrap my head around toast with margarine. Is
I don't know. I was trying to think of anything that makes someone more boring than it actually
we
is.
Use powdered milk at home. It saves us quite a bit on the annual budget. I think bologna is just fine as a meat. Just
some
fine.
Some people say that you got to have steak to have a good time, but I always am quite partial to a can of Spam. When I got married to my wife, we had Spam steaks, and cold we were cuts. Happy to have it. Cold cut.
Happy to have them.
Happy to have a charcuterie board at my wedding.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a really quick break when we get back. The East Side now has crime trouble. 7-Elevens, burglars, kayaks, wetsuits. Find out more when we get back right after this. So burglars using kayaks and wetsuits staged a caper, a caprice. What do you want to call it, Spike?
A heist. It's Bond-esque, and it's...
Yeah. Do you want to break it down for us, what happened here, Mr. O'Neill? Because this seems to me to be both very stupid and very smart at the same time.
Well, I'm thinking inside job, but let me tell you the details. These guys approached a home in the Yarrow Point area, which is one of the nicer neighborhoods in town. Mm-hmm. And they came from, they paddled up in a kayak. They were wearing wetsuits so they could slip out and come ashore like Navy SEALs, more like Navy walruses, I'm imagining. they broke a glass door, went into this home, found $20,000 in cash and a bunch of other things that they stole, and then made their way and paddled away to safety. And safety, I say.
Safety, they
don't know who they are. You know, Dave Ross was. We just had a little piece from Dave Ross saying, if you know anybody who's got a kayak, a strong upper body, and is flush with $20,000 in cash, call local authorities to let them know what's going on.
I mean, it's a pretty clever crime. I got to give him that. It reminds me of my half brother James, Spike. I've already told you this story, so I won't do the thing where I go, "Did I tell you this story, Spike?" and have you react as if I haven't told you. But I shall be. So I shall be telling this story to Andrew. Andrew, have I told you the story of my half brother James? How he ended up getting locked up for his crimes?
A while ago, I vaguely remember it. Yeah.
So, okay, well, you got to give me some excitement, Andrew. You got to give me do what Spike does and pretend like you don't know the story.
Well, I don't now remember it's if it's a
criminal mastermind, you say?
If it's a I don't want to get all happy if it's like a sad story or anything.
No,
like
it's
that.
Funny. It's hilarious. It's a good story.
I'm on the edge of my seat, Jack. Hit me with it.
Thank you. Okay, so my brother, he was a neo-Nazi, and he was not a very good person to start out with, and his friends were all neo-Nazis. Now, I say that, most people think I say that, and they go, "That's not a nice thing to say about somebody," and I go, "No, I mean that he had the tattoos and he really liked white people over all other people, and he wasn't really interested in minorities," right? That's my brother. And so, but aside from that shortcoming, he was a very sweet and very generous guy, and he had a construction company with him and his neo-Nazi buddies. And they never turned down anybody's money, to put it lightly. So they had their private bigoted beliefs that they existed with. But
it was called done far right construction. Is that what it was called?
Exactly. But in an application, the guy, he was a master at anything. Tile, roofing, plumbing, electrical. The guy had a real talent for it. And unfortunately, he needed to make a little bit more money, right? He wanted to make a little bit more, even though he was paid really well for his work. He still thought to himself, "Well, I got all these guys that work for me, and you know, I want to take a little bit of extra off the top." So somewhere along the lines, in his drug fueled mind, he says to himself, "You know how I can make a lot of money? You know how I can make a ton of money? Porta potties, because every construction site needs porta potties, and I know all the guys who have competing construction companies, and I can start my own business where I rent out the porta potties, and I can rent them out cheaper than how the other guys do it." The problem is that he didn't have any money to buy the porta potties or to get the license to run this kind of business. So he thinks to himself, "Well, I know where all the construction sites are around town, so I'm just going to go and I'm going to steal. I'm just going to steal them. I'm going to pry off the thing that says owned by so-and-so company. I'm going to paint them, and then I'm going to put my own sign on them, and then people will think that they're mine." And so he goes around town high out of his mind, and he steals a couple dozen of these, and he puts them in his little warehouse that he has with all of his construction buddies, and he thinks in a couple weeks when all the heat's gone away off of this theft, I will clean them out, and I'll paint them, and I'll rent them out. Well, as it turns out, because he wasn't very smart, my brother, he says, "Well, I don't have anything to pump these things out with, so I'm just going to leave them.
Go store them till the heat's off."
I could have stored them.
In a closed warehouse.
So the people that were on either side of this warehouse, after a couple of days, they start going, "Hey, man, I think you got a septic leak or something on your property." And my brother, being the criminal mastermind that he is, he says, "No, there's no leak here." So finally, it gets so bad, they sent over the county inspector to look at this warehouse, and what does he see? But a couple dozen porta potties have been gone missing over the last couple of weeks, and now you're going to jail. So that's the story of my criminal mastermind half brother James.
Also involved a wetsuit in that story too, ironically enough.
I never get over how stupid you have to be for that series of events to occur for you to end up, you know what I mean, getting charges, right? I mean,
I'm hoping the detective, is it Betus Swai, SWAI, of the Yarrow Point, Kirkland Police Department, I should say. They're looking for information. If you got a tip, I think if you see anybody trying to spend cash in Kirkland, there's your guy. Who spends cash anymore? This guy's got $20,000 in cash.
Why did they have $20,000 in cash at home? It seemed like an inside job. Somebody knew him.
These guys had a safe. Who's got 20 grand at home?
I would imagine you got a lake house. I mean, you probably keep, I know people that keep $10,000-$15,000 in their house at any given time in cash, just in case they got a Mad Max it, right? The water goes out.
Okay. One of those atomic sub whatever those bombs are that kills all the electronics.
Right, yeah, and so you got to have cash on hand. I know crazy people who do that. I'm almost positive that there are people that we work with that probably have $20,000 in a mattress. I mean, the thing is you just don't let people know about it, right? So you just don't tell people. Like, for instance, Andrew's got $50,000 in his mattress that he doesn't tell anybody about, right? Because he wants to keep it private so that nobody breaks into his house. See what I'm saying? It's good thinking to live that lifestyle.
You don't live on the water, do you, Andrew? So I could kayak over. And...
No house built for me yet.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, we shall be doing some constructive criticism and some hot takes from everybody out there who has texted in during the show. We'll be right back right after this. All right. Constructive criticism, hot takes. Spike has said some fairly controversial things. People are upset. I have said nothing other than things that are genuinely correct and on point, and I have predicted the future with 99% accuracy, Mr. O'Neill. You, on the other hand, have elicited nothing but ire and spite from the fine listening audience. What say you, Spike O'Neill?
It's been a successful Tuesday in my mind.
Very good.
I'm doing the job they brought me in to do.
So a lot of people had questions about the Echo Glen juvenile escapees, and will they get extra time on their sentences? No, probably not. The ones who are already serving up until they're 18, no, they will not get extra time on their sentences. The ones who are not, maybe they got a year or whatever, they will likely get extra time on their sentences.
I wonder if somebody does something like this, though. Do they then graduate to the adult system? From the juvie system?
Not in any of these kids' cases. All these kids are going to be released when they're 18. That kid who shot that 35-year-old guy in the back of the head, he will be released when he turns 18 years old. Can you believe that? So, 425 says, there is only one cottage at Echo Glen that is fully locked down. I worked there in the early 2000s. That's what I've heard. I've heard from a bunch of people it's just way too easy to get in and out, especially when the fence is under construction. Right, Mr. O'Neill?
Terrible.
I think it's pretty good. We also were talking about what else strikes your interest here, Spike.
Before we move off Echo Glen, 206 says, why do we have female guards at a detention center for juvenile boys?
Very, very good question. I believe that the idea is that if there's somebody who is a woman that wants to work with juvenile boys, I mean, there's no reason why she shouldn't have that position. I will say that if you are susceptible to being overpowered by a group of 15-year-olds, you probably shouldn't be in that position, right?
And like, you definitely shouldn't have your car keys in your pocket.
Definitely shouldn't have the keys to your Kia Sorento in your pocket.
We have, on the subject of Stranger Things, which you and I just can't seem to find common ground on.
Because it's awful.
Matt says, Jack, I hate to break it to you. A single 30s male, but my daughter and her friends don't care for most 80s, Lucas, Spielberg, etc. Closest was Gremlins. They did like that.
I understand, Matt, and I appreciate your concerns about your children. And my only advice to you was you can still have more children. And you can get rid of those. You can get rid of those ones that aren't very good. And you can get new ones that have good taste. Because if and when I have children and I show them Indiana Jones, if they go, ew, Dad, this is boring, I'm getting new kids. I'm starting over. I go, I messed up somewhere along the way. I gotta get new ones. Jack fan. Helen says, I have so much in common with Jack. I totally agree with him about the Big Bang Theory and apples. Indeed. Do we have anything else here, Spike, that catches your... Most of this is, like, pretty run-of-the-mill kind of...
I like the school...
Not a lot of hot
takes. Yeah, like the school segregation was... Seattle's plan was mandatory by the district. True, they did it on their own, not because the feds mandated it, but Seattle students couldn't opt out. And that's why those parents sued the Supreme Court back in 07 to stop making Seattle students be bused to other school districts to try to desegregate our school systems. And reclining seats on the plane.
This is a topic that I can get behind. So we were talking about reclining seats on the plane. I tried to convince people that reclining seats is a luxury that you should indulge in, and that we are being fooled by big plane and being told to not recline our seats. You can go back and listen to that segment in the podcast if you want to. You can find it on the Cairo Radio app. 206, If you don't want me to recline, remove the button. We should be paying for our airline tickets based off of our weight and size, just like a package. You hear that, Mr. O'Neill? You're going to be paying a lot more than everybody
else. Flying double in a single seat.
You're going to be paying John Popper prices.
and can we talk about chemtrails just from the 360?
Yeah. You mean the insane person who lied about being a pilot? That's fun. Yeah.
You laugh about chemtrails. I was an airline pilot for many years. We had a switch on the flight deck, and we decided, mind-altering or sterilization? Depends on how I felt that day.
So if we didn't talk about chemtrails at all. We didn't even say the word chemtrails.
It was tied to the meteorologists.
No, I
conspiracy theory, folks.
But yeah. We didn't say chemtrails, and there wasn't a joke that was made about chemtrails. And 360 in the circus of their mind says, oh, these guys are talking about this thing that I care about, even though we never mentioned it. And then they say, what lie can I come up with to try to scare these people and impose my mentally ill id on top of these people? Well, I was an airline pilot for many years. Oh, really? Wow. That's definitely what an airline pilot would say.
I think they were just kidding, though. Yeah, there was a smiley face.
I think it was a comedy writer trying to show his skills.
Okay, if it is a comedy writer, there is no joke here. unless they're trying to do, like, meta comedy where I read it and it's not funny, and that's what makes it funny, right? So when you say, we have a switch on the flight deck, and we decided mind-altering or sterilization, depending on how I felt that day. I mean, this is like if this was written by a 10-year-old, I would laugh because it's a cute kid saying something funny. If it's written by somebody who's my age, I feel bad for them. Hey, by the way, coming up next on the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker radio program, John's going to, Sherry going to be talking about Seattle firefighters now drilled on Ibram Kendi information before promotions to top jobs. And then on top of that, they're reading an article out of the Wall Street Journal talking about the bigotry that proudly speaks its name. Coming up next on the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker program. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.